Howdy, y'all. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. This is the show Thought Crime Live, and I'm your host, Stephen Douglas Whitener. It's October the 29th, 2022, and I've been looking forward to doing this show for months. I am actually live broadcasting from Travelers Rest, South Carolina, at a store called the Dixie Republic. It's on Highway 25 north of Travelers Rest, South Carolina. And they're having an event here today called Fall for Dixie. I was here back in July when there was an event called Dixie Fest, and it was a real blast, y'all. It was like I said back then, I felt like I had come home for Christmas hanging around all these people. And the people I'm surrounded by now, very learned colleagues, very knowledgeable people. I hope a bomb doesn't go off anywhere because they won't be any good radio done for months. But at one of the organizers here, Hunter, I'm gonna ask him to describe the event and things that are happening, just so y'all know if anybody's close by and could come around. Hunter, tell us about the Dixie Republic and Fall for Dixie, sir.
This is Fall for Dixie, and it's a good time for everybody. They got a in Greenville, they got something called Fall for Dixie. Fall for Greenville, and that is sort of the cosmopolitan hangout. And that we've got our own thing going on here called Fall for Dixie. And we've got classic cars, the General Lee, a bouncy house, brisket on the smoker, axe throwing, a band that's going to start up here this afternoon. So it's a really good time for everybody to get together and commit some thought crimes.
Yeah, we definitely commit thought crimes here. I'm also here with me, Jim Ram, Mike Gaddy, Blackbird 9, people who many of the listeners have probably listened to before. And it's a great pleasure to meet all of these people, colleagues that I've respected. And we want to do something different. We don't want to follow along with these masters of war and live in this utopia they're building for us with the digital currency and the tag and bag, and you know, everything that you own is theirs. They say we will own nothing and we will be happy. And you know, even if that happens to me, I'll be happy. I'll be happy I'm not them, y'all, because one thing I say often on the air is, just today I have more than Larry Fink and Bill Gates put together, because today I have enough and those scumbags never will. And that just, it's what we react to this. The way we react is by building our own system to make theirs obsolete. That's the only thing that really will work, I think. I don't believe there are any political solutions to this thing. I mean, it's people who think they're going to vote their way out of it. It ain't going to happen, y'all. This government does anything it wants. I mean, they've been doing that since the beginning. It's been a criminal cabal since 1787. And a lot of people don't like hearing that, but the facts are what they are. And just, you know, that's kind of where we are. That's the thought crime of the day. And I'm going to go around the room and speak to folks here. I'll start here with Blackbird 9. I'm so glad to meet you, sir. Glad you could be here. Tell folks about your work.
Howdy. Good to be here. I'm Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn. I do a show called Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club every Wacky Wednesday from 8 to 10. And it's just an honor to be here with these fine people and celebrating autumn, and not the cosmopolitan version of autumn. So good to be here and looking forward to some good fellowship.
Thanks. I'm glad to meet you. And wish you were here, folks. That's about the way I could say it, because I'd love to meet people that have the same thought crimes as I do, who want to do something about this, who want to fight back by creating our own system. That, I mean, one thing I've done recently, I tilled the garden the first time in many years. And you know, if you can do anything like that, if you can separate yourself from this system in any way, one small step at a time, that's how we build it. I mean, someone asked me yesterday, over the past couple of years, I've lost about 140 pounds and got my health back. And they said, how did you lose all that weight? I said, 1 pound at a time. And the way we build this system, this new system, is just one brick at a time, one relationship at a time. And it mostly is going to be built face to face, just like we're doing here. Is that right, Hunter?
Yeah. And most of the, what I guess you would call dissidents, people that's, going against the grain. That's a lot of that takes place online, but this is IRL in real life, and those small relationships that are developed in real life are really important, even though they don't seem like that, because mighty oaks from little acorns grow, and that's what we got going on here.
Yeah, and those plants that cannot bloom by day must flower in the night. There's this old song that goes like that. I listen to a lot, and we got to plant those seeds because it looks like darkness is coming. The way that they want what they want for us. I read a thing last week on Identity Dixie that says that we are slated for extinction here. They cannot continue their scam as long as the remnant remains. As long as people here who know the truth remain, they can't completely conquer this. The South is still unreconstructed as far as I'm concerned. I really love Dixie. I love being from the South, and I have a couple of friends of mine here who came from Yankee land, so to speak, moved here a few years ago. First, when did you move to the South?
1994.
Okay.
And but I birthed a baby here, so if it, you know, technically yeah. I'm a Southerner now.
You're honorary Southerner. Yeah. You've had a, so that's terrific. And then I have another friend over here, my friend Clifford. I actually do have friends, Mike. You're one of them, buddy. All right. Hey, Cliff, tell us when you came here and how you like Dixie.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, everybody listening to RBN. I came down here in August of 1988.
Wow.
Massachusetts. You
know?
Moved here, went to Greer High School. Right?
Uh-huh.
And that's when, that's back when we had Poe folks here in Greer, Tabs Flea Market, and I was introduced to Southern heritage, fried chicken biscuits, and high school football Friday nights, college football on Saturday afternoons, tailgating, and the Southern way of living. And I've been here for over 30 years, and I've loved it ever since.
Glad you're here, man. Nothing beats living in the South. If y'all ain't ever been to the South, you don't know what you're missing. I mean, it's just a nation unto itself, you know? It's not just the people. There's this culture here. People are hospitable, and all that caricature that they have of us, this deliverance stuff, the ignorant redneck, you know, can't put a sentence together. Well, we ain't really like it. I swear, we just aren't. And it's a pleasure to be here with folks. I'll go over to another gentleman here who will be on this afternoon at 4 p.m. our time. Mr. Mike Gaddy has his own show, and he'll tell you the real truth, the real history of the South and of the Revolution. He goes, you know how they'll say, Alex Jones will say, we have the documents, folks. Well, Mr. Gaddy does have the documents and the archives and the proof. If you don't agree with what he's saying, just try to prove him wrong. Mr. Gaddy, how are you, sir?
Hey, buddy, it's good to be here with
yes,
you.
Yes, sir, you too.
And meet this fine young lady you were able to trick. I don't know how you did that. Can you write us a book on that?
I don't know how I did it either. I'm a lucky dog. That's for sure. And tell the folks about your show and when you'll be on.
Well, I'll be on this evening from 4 to 5 Eastern Time, and it's called Rebel Madman.
Rebel Madman Radio. And then also this evening from 7 to 10, we are planning to broadcast live on the Podbean Network, American National Radio Network. I have been posting a lot of our stuff there, and so if you want to check that out too, we'll have some other guests. And the things that's on my mind today is mostly just this event and folks getting together and real life and, you know, making plans, because any real resistance that occurs, it's going to have to take place face to face. We're going to have to talk to each other, because everything we do and say is monitored. So on one hand, anything that's done, we're going to have to plan together in real life. But also, I think we're also going to have to win this fight in plain sight, too. Any place. Well, go ahead, Hunter.
I was going to say, you know, we are not to be in the dark. That's where the cockroaches and the rats go, is in the dark. You shine a light on them and they all start scattering. We have to be in the light. And too many people are anonymous online. And that's okay. You want to have protect your livelihood or and whatnot, but real life face to face interactions where people can you can earn people's trust. They can see that you are a trustworthy person. That is where the most impact is made, I believe. And you were talking about us basically coming out of Babylon. We are called to do that, to separate ourselves from Babylon, this system. And and really to succeed in our own mind, it starts there. And that's what we're doing here. And where else do you get this? Where else do you get these people gathering and enjoying fellowship unabashedly, like we are here today? So I'm just grateful to be here, and thank you for having me on for this little bit. And the more little radio shows that we can get out there and be in the airwaves, if you will, the better, in my opinion. So,
yeah, I completely agree. And if you can do something like this in your neck of the woods, if you can find like-minded people to get together and celebrate your heritage and your freedom and culture, please do it, because that's where it's at. I'm going to, before I go on, I want to read this thing that I'm credit to Mike Gaddy, and it's about the remnant in the masses. I've read this before on my show, but just it sums things up very well to the way I see things right now. As the word masses is commonly used, it suggests agglomerations of poor and underprivileged people, laboring people, proletarians, and it means nothing like that. It means simply the majority. The mass man is one who has neither the force of intellect to apprehend the principles issuing in what we know as the humane life, nor the force of character to adhere to those principles steadily and strictly as laws of conduct. And because such people make up the great and overwhelming majority of mankind, they are called collectively the masses. The line of differentiation between the masses and the remnant is set invariably by quality, not by circumstance. The remnant are those who, by force of intellect, are able to apprehend these principles, and by force of character are able at least measurably to cleave to them. The masses are those who are unable to do either. And I know most of our audience is that remnant. If you're listening to RBN, and you at least have to have enough intelligence to try to see through this charade that they portray as reality. And so you're already a step above the masses, and it's from you that the solution is going to arise, not from me. It's going to be people getting together and creating a new system that makes the old system obsolete. And I see that I have a caller already here, and it's actually the host who comes on after me, Mr. Luca Mino. Luca, how are you, sir? Thank you for calling. I appreciate that. What would you like to say, sir?
Well, please, you call me sir one more time and I'll hang up. I'm not sir.
All righty.
I'm your
That's
brother.
A southern thing,
friend.
Luca. I'm sorry.
No, just kidding. I had to say that. Well, I was listening to your show because I'm sitting here pacing, trying to get to unwind before my show, and I said to myself, I'm going to call Thought Crime and relax a little bit. So right when you said the word dark, that's when I called, because I'm going to be addressing that on my show right after you. And it's I had this photo ready for you. It says, the left's war on history is really a war on the God of the Bible. Okay? And I really believe that's what it is, the dark versus the light. Because, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry, like every ordinary person, is made of love, is made of caring, is made of compassion. And we're looking at everything else destroying the world. So it's, you know, I even think that the people that are the most asleep are going to be the ones that are going to, you know, be able to wake up and look at this theater happening. So that's really what I wanted to say, because it's tragic.
Yeah, very. It's heartbreaking to see people that are still hypnotized and brainwashed in that maze. I don't know. Mr. Gaddy was talking about a debate he had with a mathematics professor. Where was that, sir, that you had that?
Sacramento, California.
And at one point, the professor looked at him and said, I don't care how many facts you give me, you're not going to change my mind. I mean, it was like a religion to this person. This was a debate about gun control, but I think that a lot of people have that mindset that what they believe, they don't care if it's true or not. It just it's been reinforced so many times that they're like Pavlov's dog, you know, that's like, you know, he would get dogs to salivate when they rang the bell because they were all so used to getting fed at that time. And I think we have a whole civilization of Pavlov's dogs out there that are just barking and sitting up and begging to the commands of the mainstream media.
It's indoctrination. I really believe it, and I can't believe how well they've done it. I mean, you know, my own family threw me out as soon as they found out that I was researching history. Literally thrown out. I'm ashamed to have the same last name as you. You're evil. Because they can't see. And I explained it really well in one of my shows about how that's how indoctrination works. They're slaves to the first indoctrination system, which is school. Then they run out and try to find another one, which is government, and working and doing exactly what they're told because they don't know any different. So when you go and you threaten that with truth, that's what's going to happen. And it's phenomenally well engineered, I have to say. But I'll give time to other callers, though. I just wanted to say good morning and throw that out.
Well, thanks very much for the call, Luca. Y'all tune in after my show to Luca's World. I enjoy your show very much, and I had posted your last one up to that same Podbean network that we plan to be live on here. I really appreciate your support, sir, and your work. And
well,
I want to tell you guys.
You can call in then.
Oh, all right, sir. Yeah, and I wanted to let the listeners know about your recovery if they haven't listened to you. You've made an incredible recovery of your health too the past few years.
And I'm going to be starting my show with that because I was sitting in the sun earlier doing my quarter mile after my quarter mile walk, and I thought of the trip back from cancer, stage 4 cancer, 2 of them, prostate and bladder, both taken out, no chemo, no radiation at all. And now I'm an enemy, literally, of the medical establishment, and I'm going to be explaining why.
All right. Yes, we'll look forward to hearing that, Luca. Thanks very much for the call, sir. I look forward
to
hearing you.
He said sir again.
Uh-oh. Well, I guess it's time to hang up then.
No, it's polite. It's politeness in the South.
Yes, sir. I go again. I mean, you will find hospitality. Your people are not ignorant rednecks the way they portray us, and there may be a few of them around, but, you know, a lot of people down south, we talked about that last week. I talked with Mark Tomey from the League of the South for a while about how, you know, a lot of things that have been invented were invented in the South. There's a lot of art and literature. I mean, before that war of Northern aggression, the South was the richest part of the country. Mississippi was the richest state. Now they're the poorest. They were just wiped out. It was like a war of extermination. It wasn't a civil war. It was really, really, really bad. The true history of that you can learn from Mr. Mike Gaddy too, y'all. And thanks for calling again, Luca. And I think I don't hear, but we're just about to come up on our first break, and I'll be back from Republic Broadcast. This is republicbroadcasting.org, and I'll be back after the break from Travelers Rest, South Carolina.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Thought Crime Live on Republic Broadcasting Network on republicbroadcasting.org, and I really like that song that says, "All we are all we need." Yes, we don't need them. We don't need their permission. We don't need their war machine. We don't need their taxes. We don't need their condemnation. All we need are each other and the truth. That's what we have to stand for, folks, and I'm glad to be here. Proud to be here with some people who believe the same way and are trying to do something about it. And listen, I see I have some callers lining up, so I go to the phones here. First up is my friend Dan in Washington. Hello, Dan. How are you, sir? What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I have a theory of the Dukes of Hazzard was a big psyop, because what we think of as the South is basically an image of Dukes of Hazzard in your head. For most people, and that was done deliberately by Nixon and Reagan to get the Southern and Western, because I was psyoped too as a guy who grew up out in the country on the West Coast, to be Reaganite, you know, government's bad, you know, government can't do no good, don't tax the rich. That was part of Nixon's Southern strategy to get, you know, Southern white men to vote Republican, because before that, I mean, the Republican Party is the party of Rockefeller, basically Jewish Wall Street, and it still is. So,
well,
but if you look at real quick, if you look at Southern history, like Huey Long, he was basically following the same program as a National Socialist, and he taxed the oil income heavily, built roads, schools, and even if you look at who's the guy, George Wallace, all those Dixie Democrats were basically almost socialist. But you know, the Reagan psyop, the Dukes of Hazzard psyop, basically the South to vote against your own interests for the most part. States like West Virginia and Georgia, really low wages. No, you know, no safety net, that kind of thing.
Well, Dan, yeah, I think you could be right. I believe Hollywood has been portraying us with a psyop, you know, painting us with a very bad brush for many years. I do remember the Dukes of Hazzard coming in about the same time as Jimmy Carter, too, when they used that flip on us. I mean, did you think it could get worse than Jimmy Carter? I mean, look at things today. But I have seen Huey Long before, too. Let me go back to, you mentioned Huey Long. That's one of the people they had to take out, because anyone that really wants to represent the people and stand for them instead of the moneyed interests, they can't handle that. That is a huge threat to them. And that's a very good example. I had not mentioned Huey Long in a while, but his story, he's populist, but he did. He tried to do things for the people and not the huge corporations. And you know, the powers that should not be just can't have that, Dan. They'll come after them. They came after Gaddafi. They came after Hitler. They came after anyone that tried to stand for their own people against the banks. And it's been that way from the beginning here, too, even in from 1787, and especially when they came to collect those taxes in 1860 and just destroyed the South. You mentioned that the Republicans, they started out as Marxist. Lincoln was a Marxist. Mr. Gaddy goes over how this whole war was planned, that war, the Civil War, was planned in a letter between Marx and Engels before the thing even took place. So
yeah, I don't buy
not what we've
theory.
Been told.
I don't agree with that theory. I think Lincoln was basically a white nationalist, and he was fighting against the Jewish slave owners.
Well, not according to the
if you look
the
at the Tsar of Russia, what I used to prove that is the Tsar of Russia was friends with Lincoln and sent ships to San Francisco and New Orleans to guard the South, or, you know, guard from invasion by England and France because they supported the South. Russia supported the North because the Tsar and Lincoln wanted to gradually get rid of the serf and slave system and have a more better system for people. That basically was the system we had until the 1960s. I mean, what we think of as America as a white European country was basically created by Lincoln, not the South. Mm-hmm. If the South would have won, you'd be like Brazil right now, basically. That's how I look at it.
Well, I have to disagree because I have read the letters that they wrote to each other, and the actual documents and the real history doesn't bear all that out. But you know, we'll have to all find our own.
Well, the Tsar, we know, wrote the Protocols of Zion, or his son did, and it's not a conspiracy theory that he sent the ships to guard the ports at Louisiana and San Francisco. That's
no
fact.
That part.
So
that
I don't
part,
care
I,
yeah. if Marx. Yeah, if Marx wrote Lincoln a letter, I don't care. I mean, people wrote letters. It's not like, you know, he was working for Marx at that time. And a lot of those ideas might have been correct anyway. There were lots of socialist movements all around the world. They had more German socialists that were, you know, more intelligent than Marx. But they weren't psychotic Jews, you know. But anyway,
I hear the music coming up, Dan. Listen, thanks for the call. We'll have to agree to disagree for now, but we can get more into this later too, sir. Thanks very much for the call, Dan. I always appreciate your calls. But we'll be right back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. I'm your host, Stephen Douglas Whitener. This is Thought Crime Live, and I'm broadcasting live today from the Dixie Republic in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, where there's an event taking place called Fall for Dixie. Now, I'm surrounded by a lot of awesome people, y'all. Mike Gaddy is here. Blackbird 9 is here. Just a lot of very intelligent people that I admire and listen to. It's an honor being associated with them here, getting to meet them. And it's something I read last week when I was talking about this event coming up. I want to just reiterate a little bit of that for y'all. It's a blog called Identity Dixie, and the title is Let's Celebrate Dixie. Being Southern is a Good Thing. 40 years ago, I put together a book called Why the South Will Survive, with optimistic contributions by 15 writers about the resilience that still existed in our homeland and the positive things it could contribute to the American business. None of us could have imagined how fast and how far the Yankee Empire, of which the Southern people were the first victims, would descend into its present condition, its present decaying condition. We have long been the redheaded stepchild of the U.S., but now we have not only been disinherited completely, but we are targeted for extinction. Of course, the destruction of Southern memory and culture is destruction of a major and honorable part of American history and identity. Our rulers either are happy that it is so or don't realize what they are doing. It would seem that now the only significance of any historical figure is their attitude toward the black race. All of Western civilization is to be trashed because it showed little interest in the black race and took a non-egalitarian attitude when it did. This because of the complaints of people who enjoy all its benefits, but whose only contribution is whining that their group is not flattered enough. What are we to make of a society that replaces Robert E. Lee with George Floyd? Dishonesty, delusion, degeneracy, and contrived hysteria. It would seem that the Confederate monument at Lee's home at Arlington will be destroyed. Good people are laboring hard to prevent it, but who is going to stop it? Certainly not the Republicans. Most of our Southern congressmen are now empty suit, cookie cutter, dollar denominated products of the Republican machine. There is hardly even a faint echo of cultural and historical knowledge among them, not to mention integrity or principle. Wouldn't that really just describe just about every Republican I know? It seems likely that Stone Mountain is next. The Democrat who is to be elected governor of Georgia is pledged to see to that. She says the past has to be removed because it does not please her group. Democrats have already perfected the trick of stealing elections. Georgia is now full of carpetbaggers, foreigners, and natives cultivated in wokery. Who will stop the destruction? Certainly not Republicans, who are not a real opposition party. And even if a small victory is won, the battle will have to be fought over and over again until we lose. There are no political solutions, y'all. I'll go on and finish. It seems to me that noble thing we have known as the South, flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, is at a place where at last a last line must be drawn. If we are not to draw the line soon, we are doomed to fade away into a despised little hole as if we had never existed. There are still millions of us in our heroic past, and our congenial living are still admired by a great many people north of the Potomac in Ohio and all around the world. We need a peaceful mass celebration, a celebration, not a protest, to show the world that we are still here and we are proud of who we are. Such an observance should not be confined only to the Confederacy, but honor all of our Southern life and our real present existence as a people. It should be Southern. All the weird little Yankee fascists, their strange flags and uniforms that distorted Charlottesville should be excluded. Such a celebration will be difficult given the lesson of Charlottesville, where officials, law enforcement, and judges colluded with violent BLM and Antifa mobs to suppress a meeting and blame it on the victims. The government at all levels operates now by the communist playbook. Demonize and punish real dissidents and call them terrorists when they defend themselves. Organizing such a movement would take a strong and wise leadership. The government would go all out to suppress or disrupt it and the media to misrepresent it. We would face a near impossible task of negating violent attacks and government provocateurs. It would need to be so large that the wealthy New York communist lawyers and journalists could not effectively target individuals for punishment. In my dreams, I can picture 50,000 solemn, peaceful, well-dressed men physically defending Stone Mountain, who after a time would burst into Dixie, perhaps one reenactor unit with flags. Our people should be discouraged at waving too many flags, which look like a circus rather than a serious statement of a people. Our black countrymen of goodwill should be welcome. The Hunley funeral celebration and the more recent peaceful pro-gun rally in Richmond might give helpful suggestions of how it can be done positively, but alas, such a thing is no longer possible. The government will suppress it with the army if necessary. If you expect any of our Southern Republican governors or very many of our Southern Republican congressmen to defend us, I have some valuable property in the Santee Swamp that I can sell you. Our cause has been repeatedly damaged by people fighting the enemy on his own ground. Negative defensiveness. Being Southern is a good thing to be celebrated. Perhaps we should think in terms of a dispersed celebration with 10,000 men and women at Capitol or other location in each state. The testimony of 140,000 people celebrating Dixie, or even a multitude of simultaneous local events with Southern food and music and Confederate memorials. If not us, who? If not now, when? Well, today, right here in Traveler's Rest at the Dixie Republic. Oh, sorry, I interrupt you. We are doing just that. People are here celebrating being Southern and making real life contacts and looking people in the eye and learning who is who and what can we do about this. That's the only answer I see to this, is to create a new system, as we've been saying. And I want to go back to the phones after reading that. I have Mike in Kentucky. Mike, sir, what's on your mind?
Well, several things you've been touching on the last few minutes, but I was born early on a frosty morn in Dixie, or some people think of Kentucky as the Romulan neutral zone or something, but they wanted to remain neutral, but the union came in and interrupted the legislature. There was two parallel pieces of legislature, one in the House and one in the Senate. And a guy who is both the sons of the Revolution and daughters of the Confederacy, I think, has recognized him, too, as the direct descendant from provable lineage there from the South and the Revolution. Paralegal, he had me go look up stuff he couldn't find in his local library in Lexington, which I thought was odd that I could find it in my local targeted town of Kim Davis over here. We got a real clash of cultures with this very liberal university and a lot of country folks, and of course, in Kentucky, from one county to the next, one would side with the North, one would side with the South, and they'd be 60-40 divided, you know. So you were talking PSYOPs, and Luca kind of got cut off there when I think you probably know what he was getting at when he said, "Don't call me sir." I went into a law library and held in my hand two copies published as ratified from 1822 on original hemp paper, pristine hemp paper. At that time, this was in the mid-90s, so we're talking 160-some years old, I think, that they had just replaced the covers on it, rebound, you know. But that's where that comes from, because in the Constitution there was no provision for why you would not, you know, that the United States was not going to recognize any titles of nobility, because we're all a peer. There is no peerage, but we're all equal. You know, we're not, there's no dukes and duchesses and then commoners like there is in England and other monarchies. So the original, or titles of nobility amendment, if you accepted, like George W. Bush supposedly did out in international waters, he got a Knight of the British Empire after he was out of office, George Herbert Walker Bush. If you accept a title of nobility under that amendment from 1822, you lost your citizenship, ability to hold office and vote and stuff like that. So, you know, George Herbert Walker Bush didn't care about that, even though that amendment appears to have been published all the way up into the 1870s by Montana, I think, territory. And it was the second 13th Amendment. It was labeled the 14th Amendment. And there was confusion there for, I don't know, at least a decade after the so-called Civil War. But that's something people need to research a little bit.
Yes.
But, you know, you start running down the list here from Hollywood, PSYOPs on belittling, diminishing the South. It also goes toward breaking up the family, making fun of father figures as goofy and stupid. You've got the Beverly Hillbillies, Andy Griffith Show, Green Acres, Petticoat Junction, and even, obviously, Jerry Springer, who was stupid enough to pay for a prostitute with a check, got himself ousted as mayor of Cincinnati. But he also, his show, that Jerry Springer show, paid people to recruit friends to go on her show and pretend to be stupid, you know, redneck, you know, low-class people. I've personally know some people that turned him down. Free trip to New York, free motel, time to go around New York and sightsee and stuff like that to be on the Jerry Springer show. So there's, you know, there's a lot more devil in the details sort of thing. But Dukes of Hazzard did have some real government corruption depicted there, cartoonishly, between the Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane and the county cabals. And I've heard that most of my life, that generally there's, you know, five families or so that run about every county, every state, and then ultimately the entire country may be ran, you know, by pretty much about 50 major families. So, you know, it's we call West Virginia the Rockefeller Plantation, some of us. Almost heaven, because it's not quite Kentucky. If you've heard. Yeah, yep. But, yep. The state made from a state without that state's permission, West Virginia, you know, because it was carved out of Virginia, and it's an unconstitutional state. So, but that's just a few of the things that came to my mind over the last few minutes. But, you know, there's a lot that people don't know about the South and the war. 23 years ago, I could tell the way that direction things were going. So on our honeymoon, we took a tour of the South, see Stone Mountain, saw the Cherokee Confederate display there in Cherokee, South Carolina. I don't even know if that's still there. Cherokee Confederates is part of their history. And you talked about friendly blacks showing up at Stone Mountain. I'm sure the followers of H.K. Egerton, Asheville, North Carolina fellow, who was at one point NAACP, National Association of Colored Persons, chapter president there, and he started finding out about some of this stuff. And did you catch him marching across Dixie from Asheville to Austin?
Yes, I remember when he did that. Yes, sir. I've never met that man, but yes, I have heard of
it. It shocked a lot of people, I think. You know, it's like a self-hating Jew or something. He's a self-hating black person because he knows about his heritage. You know, and you know, there's a lot of us folks that did not actually choose to be here in America. I mean, I'm part Cherokee Shawnee, very small part, but there's a lot of people who don't realize their ancestors were simply thrown out at Savannah, Georgia, kidnapped off the streets, be they Celts from Belgium and France or different cities and city-states in Europe. They would just simply let ships round up the poor people to get rid of them, and they would be thrown out either at Savannah, Charleston, or in Australia, different places like that. So there's a lot of people who were never slaveholders. Only 10% of the South by the 1860 census, I've read, that actually owned slaves. So there's a lot of misconceptions that Hollyweird and the history books continue to foment. But one of the most important things that I didn't learn in school, and I would still pay a silver dollar for, if I could get somebody to find me my 7th and 8th grade American government book, I was nerdy enough to read those founding documents in the Constitution, and I am sure that the 4th paragraph, or none of the other paragraphs other than the 1st paragraph of that 14th Amendment, was published in that book.
Oh,
and it did not have that, you know, the debt shall not be questioned when it comes to suppressing insurrection. So all they need to do is to gather information on any potential insurrection, and they could justify borrowing as much money as they want to suppress it, even if it, you know, comes to the point of breaking the bank. And that, you know, that 14th Amendment paragraph, I think a lot of people miss that, and of course it's not taught in school. I did find a book from a county next door to this county, Morgan County, where the teacher simply taught that the 14th Amendment gave the black citizenship, got nothing about the rest of that four paragraphs, you know, three other paragraphs that's in there. And so, you know, the kid's notes, he just used ditto marks. He said the 13th Amendment gave Negroes freedom, and then the 14th Amendment gave them the right to vote, and nothing else. So there's a lot of sin by omission. But with that, I guess I'll let you go, because I could go on for a while. But
Mike, I always appreciate your calls. Let me point out before you go that a lot of people don't realize that that war was a war of extermination. It wasn't a civil war. At over a million blacks were killed during the Civil War. A million. I mean, that was a real Holocaust there.
One thing I forgot is the big plank of the Communist Manifesto that we've seen all throughout Europe as it gets implemented is the industrialization of agriculture they want to get rid of. And that's what's so ironic about the Democrats of today. Jefferson said a nation of independent farmers would be unconquerable. Well, that's exactly diametrically opposed to the industrialization of agriculture. The cotton gin and all this stuff was coming on. So I think they knew slavery was going to be obsolete, and they had to do that war when they did.
Yes, anyway. I agree.
All right, thanks.
Thanks very much for the call, Mike. All right. And I'm fast coming up on the break. I may have to hold you over during the break, but I have Melissa from Maryland. Hello, Melissa. Can you hear what's on your mind? Do I have Melissa?
You hear me?
Hi. Yeah, you're coming in. Hi.
Okay. Hi there. Okay, I got a question for you. If you would like me to postpone this for some other time, because this concerns the election, so are you in the mood to discuss that?
The elections?
Yeah.
You know, I really don't see that there are any political solutions to this. Do you do you believe that we can vote our way out of this?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a firm believer in voting for the right candidate, and sometimes also you have to leave offices or whole ballots blank if there's nobody acceptable to vote for. So, you know, that's one way of dealing with it. But what I wanted to ask you is something that I've been searching for, which maybe you can assist with, because I've been searching high and low for this, but obviously not in the right places. I'm looking for a nationwide, it would be state by state, but, you know, altogether it would be a nationwide candidates list of decent and acceptable candidates to vote for, preferably from the county on up. Yep. And I just haven't been able to find one. We've been hearing about endorsements. You know, we get, you know, individual candidates endorsed. But that's about the extent of what we, you know, hear about are these
Well, personally, myself, I would never, I won't vote again ever. But if I were to cast a vote, it would definitely not be for a Republican or a Democrat. This illusion of choice that's provided, like we have Coke and Pepsi, but it's always the same, whether it's the right wing or the left wing, it's on the same bird of prey. You know, and it's vulture lately. As long as people are allowed to create money from nothing and charge interest on it, what does it matter who we elect? They can use a fire hose of dollar bills at these people or anything that we build. That's the core issue, I believe. And as long as we keep voting people in again, thinking they're going to fix it, I don't believe that's going to do any good. That's where I stand when it comes to elections. I just don't think that's going to help. We're going to have to separate from this system, as we were talking about, to secede in our mind first and foremost, and then to create an alternative system that is good for the people. But, you know, I appreciate your call. Thanks very much for listening, Melissa. And please call again if you have something you'd like to contribute. And next, I have Murr in Wisconsin. Hello, Murr. Thanks for calling.
Oh, good morning, all y'all. Good to hear you.
Howdy.
In lieu of a live stream, I have a picture on my screen of from July with James Edwards in the corner there. And the
yes.
guys that were there, Mike and you. And it's just so good to hear you. But, when I hear people like Dan, they're still under a delusion. Do they believe in Santa, too? I mean, these are men. So you really need to find out the true history. And Mike Gaddy's the one that's been digging that out, and he'll be on at 3. So that's a very good thing. But I spent a lot of time in the South, and people are so hospitable. You know, it's my grandmother lived on Lookout Mountain in Georgia. That's a big mountain, Lookout Mountain. You know, and, we would sew and cook and stuff, and I'd go and see people and, you know, a lot of coal miner families. And the children, they have dirty faces, and they were so happy all the time, just laughing and, you know, out there in the woods in some house that has no picture window, you know what I mean, just the frame and blankets over it, and they're crawling in and out over the sofa and... You know, anyway, but,
we're portrayed, are we? The South really isn't the way it looks when you see the Hollywood version, is it, Murr?
Oh, I can't stand Hollywood. Well, there again, that's the enemy's tool. Why bother? You know, why let that get in your brain, you know? But we
could
make
quilts,
too, because people would get burned out. You know, that was fairly common. And we'd find wool, whether it be suits, whatever, and then the part next to the people would be nice cotton flannel, soft cotton flannel, and you put an old blanket in the middle and sew it around and flip it around so you have nice seams there and pull yarn through to quilt it. You know, we'd be working through the night making them sometimes. That was great. You know, my grandmother was great that way anyway. She would have me, my siblings, cousins, you know, would spend a year with her. It was 800 miles on Route 11. So once you were there for the duration. You know?
That sounds great. Yeah, I love living here. When I look up at the Glassy Mountain and Hogback Ridge, that says home to me. I mean, that I get the same choked up feeling some people do looking at that old American flag. You know, I just, nah, not anymore, not for me. That my dad told me what a con it was from the beginning, and it took a while for it to sink in, but here we are today, and all the listeners out there, look, you need to do the same thing we're doing. Find people that you can agree with, that you can band together with, and survive this thing. Create something that's better. People say, well, you think you know more than all them other people. We don't know more, but we know better. We know a better way to live. We know a better way to treat each other than the way that they've been doing. And it shows when you come down here, you can see how people treat each other. You break down on the side of the road. And now these days you might get robbed by somebody. More likely, you're going to have 3 or 4 people stop to try to help you out. It's just the way things are around here.
Well, you know, the Confederate flag, too, they took down everywhere, and including in the cathedral in D.C. out of the stained glass. But that's St. Andrew. That's St. Andrew's flag originally. So that's one reason they really, you know, they called the Bible Belt for a reason. Their people believe in God, and that's something that is trying to be snuffed out. Even those Satanists, I've learned, are more devout than Christians, or Crino, Christian in name only. You know, they pray for God's protection before they do all their spells and stuff and their terrible rituals.
Yes.
Because they know that Satan is under God.
The Christian Zionism, that really gets me, where you'll have a Christian flag, an American flag, and an Israeli flag all at the front of some 501c3 that's masquerading as a church. It infuriates me to see that, and I don't know what to do about it except to separate. I don't think there really are any churches left in this country. They're just 501c3s now that are federally controlled, and that's not going to change things. I remember reading a book years ago called None Dare Call It Treason that the Goldwater campaign gave away back in 64, and it outlined how that was being done to us then. And here we are almost 60 years later, and you can see the end result of that. This is the end result of a government that's run by somebody that can print money out of nothing, charge interest on it, and do anything they please. And also this, with a document that allows them to get away with literal murder and genocide. And then make it legal. There's no way to reform a system like that. You're not going to change that system. You have to create a new one that makes it obsolete.
Yeah, well, we kind of are doing that, and you have to do it. You can't wait for it to collapse and do it. You have to be doing it alongside of it, you know, to catch it. But you have to know Jesus Christ, you know, person to person, spirit to spirit.
Hey, thanks very much for the call, Murr. I really appreciate your support and encouragement. And I hear those Masters of War coming up in the background again. Y'all tune in to Luca's World next. And then at 3 p.m. Central will be Mike Gaddy, the Rebel Madman Radio. And we'll be back on the Podbean Network tonight from 7 to 10 with Blackbird 9 and others. Thanks very much, y'all. A thought crime a day keeps tyranny away. Behind walls, you would hide behind desks. I just want you to know I can see through your mask. Want you to know I can see through your mask. You'd have never done nothing. But...
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.